理课堂听 class.com
Chapter 3 The Second Spirit. Suddenly Scrooge realized that he was awake again. He did not know what time it was, but he guessed that it was before 1 o'clock in the morning. Scrooge did not have any doubts that another spirit would come to find him. Quickly, he pulled the curtains back from around his bed so that he could see the bedroom. He did not want to be surprised again by another visitor, whoever he might be. Then he sat up in bed and watched the room for signs of anything strange. Now, dear reader, you and I both know that there are many strong, brave men in the world. These men always talk about the adventures they have had and say that they are afraid of nothing. They can fight well, they are talented, and they say that they are ready for anything to happen. Now, I cannot say that old Scrooge was very much like these men. He was an old lawyer, and he had never had any adventures. However, Scrooge had had some very strange experiences in the recent past. Meeting the ghost of old Jacob Marley and the ghost of Christmas Past had prepared Scrooge for more strange things to happen. So, I can say that on that night, as Scrooge lay in his bed waiting for the second spirit, he felt ready for anything. Nothing would have surprised him very much, from a flying baby to a terrible monster. However, although Scrooge was ready for anything, he was certainly not ready for nothing to happen. So when the large clock outside his house struck 1 o'clock, and no ghost appeared, and nothing at all happened, Scrooge began to feel very nervous. 5 minutes, then 10, then 15 minutes passed, and no ghost came. "What is happening? Was everything a strange dream?" thought Scrooge. Scrooge was so busy wondering where the second ghost was that he did not notice the bright light at first. It was shining on his bed and had lit up the whole room. When Scrooge did notice the light, he jumped out of bed and looked around the room. No one was there. All sorts of wild ideas went through Scrooge's head, but eventually he realized that the light might be coming from his sitting room. So he took a deep breath and slowly walked over to open the door. What amazing or terrible sight would he see? The second Scrooge's hand was on the door, he heard a strange voice call him by his name.
"Enter, my good man," said the voice.
When Scrooge entered his sitting room, he could hardly believe his eyes. It was his sitting room, there was no doubt about that. But it had changed greatly. The walls were covered with beautiful dark green branches with bright red berries. The room smelled like a fresh winter forest. There was a large, warm fire in the chimney, the kind of fire that Scrooge would never have built for himself. But the most amazing thing of all was the floor of the sitting room. The floor was covered with Christmas foods of all kinds. There were chickens, ducks, turkeys, roast meats, sweet candies, ripe fruits, and many other delicious dishes. There were large bowls filled with wine and beer. Scrooge had never seen so much food in his life. These foods and drinks were piled up on the floor in a small mountain, and on top of the pile sat a giant man who held a torch in his hand. Scrooge knew immediately that this must be the second spirit.
"Come in, come in, my good man," said the ghost in a loud, cheerful voice. "Come in, so that you shall know me better."
Scrooge slowly entered the room, even though he could see that the ghost's face was red and happy-looking, and his eyes were clear and kind. He was somehow afraid to look the ghost in the eyes. Dear reader, you must understand that Scrooge had changed a little. He was not quite the same as the angry old man we first met. But Scrooge had never had parties or happy times with friends, so he felt very strange and uncomfortable. What was he supposed to do?
"I am the ghost of Christmas present," said the giant man. "Look into my eyes."
Scrooge looked at the ghost, and he was amazed. The ghost wore a beautiful dark green robe with white fur. The robe was so large that Scrooge could not see the ghost's figure underneath it. The ghost's feet were bare, and his head was covered with long, dark brown curls. There was a crown of leaves and berries on the head. The ghost's face was red and happy, and the eyes were large and shone like jewels. Scrooge felt that the ghost brought light and warmth to his old, dark, and cold sitting room. He had never seen anything like this before.
"Well, have you ever met anyone like me before?" said the ghost of Christmas present, laughing loudly. "No, never," said Scrooge. "So, you have never met any of my family. I have many older brothers, you see," said the ghost. "Do you, oh ghost?"
"How many brothers?" asked Scrooge.
"More than 1,800.
"That is an enormous family to take care of," said Scrooge. The ghost stood up, and he seemed like a great king.
"Good ghost," said Scrooge, "take me where you want. I traveled last night with another, and I learned a lesson. If you have anything to teach me tonight, I will listen." "Touch my robe," said the ghost.
Scrooge did so, and immediately the wonderful, delicious chickens, ducks, and turkeys were gone. The sitting room disappeared also. Scrooge saw that he and the ghost of Christmas present were standing in the middle of a street in London, and it was Christmas morning. Many people were sweeping the snow off the streets, and young boys ran around playing in the snow. Scrooge looked around him and saw that they were not in his neighborhood. On this street, the houses were small and black. They looked even darker because of the beautiful white snow all around. It was difficult for Scrooge to walk because there was mud and icy water everywhere. The sky was gray, and mist and fog hung in the streets. There was nothing very cheerful or pretty about this neighborhood. It was very poor. But it seemed to Scrooge that happiness was in the air. The people who were sweeping the snow off the streets were laughing and talking together. Sometimes they would even throw snowballs at each other, like small children. The small shops were open, and Scrooge could see the meats and fruits for sale. For some reason, the fruits and vegetables looked especially bright and delicious. There were many kinds of nuts, large and brown. Someone was roasting the nuts, and their delicious smell filled the air. There were beautiful purple onions and shiny red and green pears and apples. They looked fat and juicy, and the oranges and lemons shone like orange and yellow jewels. The meat shops had wonderful chickens, turkeys, and sausages for sale. There were even fish, fat and silver. Looking at all this beautiful food, Scrooge was beginning to feel extremely hungry. This was strange, because Scrooge had always eaten the same boring thing for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He thought that the only nice thing about food was that it kept him alive. But he suddenly wanted to eat a juicy apple or pear and have a feast with the meats. But there were even more wonderful things for sale in other shops. Scrooge and the ghost slowly walked the little streets, and everywhere Scrooge saw delicious sweets for sale. There were beautiful spices and fresh sweet figs and plums. There were Christmas cakes with dried fruit and large sweet almonds. The scents of tea and coffee filled the air. Everywhere people were busy buying things. They were in a terrible hurry. But Scrooge noticed how cheerful all the shoppers were as they bumped into each other, dropped their things, and filled their baskets until they could not carry any more. Everyone was in a very good mood. Soon, Scrooge heard the sound of church bells ringing, which meant that it was time for everyone to go to church. Men, women, and children came out of their homes. They wore their best clothing and sang Christmas songs as they walked through the cold, snowy streets to the church. At the same time, Scrooge saw that there were many poor people in the streets. They were carrying their dinners to the bakers to be cooked, because they had no ovens or stoves. The ghost of Christmas Present seemed especially interested in these poor people. The ghost told Scrooge to follow him over to the street corner. A group of poorly dressed men in thin coats were walking down the street, each carrying a plate of food. Sometimes one of them would accidentally bump into the other, and there were some angry words. The ghost took out a small bag which contained a sparkling powder inside, and as these men passed, he sprinkled some of this powder on their dinners. Immediately, everyone became cheerful again. "Well, it's a shame to argue on Christmas Day, isn't it? Merry Christmas to you, my good man," one of the men said to the other. Soon the church bell stopped ringing, and the streets grew quiet. Lights shone inside in the small, warm houses. Scrooge could see the smoke coming out of the chimneys. He imagined all the good things that were cooking inside the homes. "Ghost, what was that strange powder you sprinkled onto those poor men's dinners? They stopped arguing and became cheerful again. Is the powder magical?" asked Scrooge. "Yes, it is my magic," said the ghost. "Would the powder work to make any person happy on this day?" asked Scrooge. "Yes, but on a poor person most," answered the ghost. "Why?" asked Scrooge. "Because the poor need my magic the most," said the ghost. Scrooge thought about this for a moment. "Ghost, I am surprised at you. I did not think that you, of all the beings in the world, would want to take these people's chances for simple fun." "Me?" cried the ghost. "Well, you have taken away their way of dining on this day, the only day that these poor people can dine like others. You have closed the baker's shops, haven't you?" asked Scrooge. "Me?" cried the ghost again. "You think I do this?" Scrooge was a little worried, because he had not meant to upset the ghost. "Forgive me if I am wrong, good ghost of Christmas Present," he said. "Things like this have been done by your family before." The ghost looked at Scrooge and said firmly, "There are some on this earth of yours who think they know us, and who have done their deeds of anger, hatred, greed, and crime while using our name. They are as strange to us as if they had never lived. They are not in my family. Remember that, and blame them for those terrible acts, not me." Scrooge promised to remember, and so they traveled on to the outside of the city. Scrooge noticed something interesting about the ghost's appearance. Although he was extremely large and tall, like a giant, he was comfortable in any place, no matter how small. It seemed that he could change his size when he wanted to. He could stand underneath a low ceiling in a very small room and become quite small, or he could fill a whole room. Perhaps it was the good ghost's kind, cheerful nature, or the pleasure he felt in helping all those people who were poor, that made him take Scrooge to the house of Bob Cratchit, Scrooge's clerk. Dear reader, you remember Bob Cratchit, the quiet little man sitting in the little room in Scrooge's office, trying to write with only a candle for light, and so cold he was almost frozen. Well, now Scrooge was seeing, for the first time, the house where his clerk lived, and learning something about his life. The ghost smiled as they reached the door to Bob Cratchit's house. He took out his large torch and his little bag of magic powder and blessed the house. Although he didn't understand why, Scrooge felt glad that the ghost had done this. Bob Cratchit only received 15 small coins for a week of work. It seemed that his little house, which had only 4 rooms, needed the ghost blessing.